I will recognize once again. And before I do this, I want to mention that I've done a little bit of research, and I've been using Willista Q, and several people pronounce the word in that way, but recently, most recently, I've heard more people saying Willista Que, and I think that they use Willista Q because it's easier to say. But so I've been told by an elder that that's a more proper pronunciation of the name of the people who are from this territory. So I will recognize that we meet on unceded Willista Que territory, and rather than just going with that and saying, oh good, we've recognized it, now we don't have to do anything more, I just want to add just a little bit, maybe a little bit of different information each time. Tonight I want to recognize that there are in the neighborhood of 60 completely fluent Willista Que people. So their numbers have shrunk dramatically. There are more people than that speak the language, but completely fluent, they're down to around 60. So it's important that as we look at what we're doing with our schools and with our language classes, we consider that and remember the Mi'kmaq language is different than Willista Que, and so we need to consider what we're doing as we're providing education for our students. Under consent items, we have the agenda, which you have in front of you or received before the meeting. Are there any additions to the agenda? I have one item under correspondence, which isn't written there, but will be a correspondence from the Association of Francophone Decks. Yes, Mark?
In the in-camera session after the public comments.
So after the public comments, we will go in camera for a brief session. Other than that, do I see any other additions? Seeing none, then approval by consent. And the minutes from the May 4th meeting, you received those. That was the meeting where we had the third of our public sustainability study meetings on Kings Clear.
Are those meetings and the May 18th meetings, where are they specifically? Are they on? Like, I just don't see them under attachments on the meeting day.
Yeah, I don't see them in the portal.
So.
Just on the portal?
Minutes. Are the agendas there?
You don't see the meeting time?
I looked
at it.
You're
not there?
No.
Okay,
we'll
go.
Sorry? This meeting happened at Fredericton High School.
May 4th, right there.
Well, here it says continues here for school.
Public meeting.
Yeah, I seen that one, May 8th.
So this is the May 4th. Public meeting, meeting number 3 of the King's Clear Sustainability Study.
Maybe the other ones got deleted in error, so I'm going to put those up right now.
Okay. We'll take a few minutes to have a look at them. It's not saying it was at King's Clear. So they are on the portal now?
The calendar.
On the calendar.
Thank you.
everyone had an opportunity now to read the May 4th minutes? So, any errors or omissions?
I'm just reading through the exchange for that that motion that was made. What page are we on?
The motion at the very end of the minutes?
Well, no, under page two, I move that the list, proposed major capital be approved.
That's on May 18th?
Yeah.
Okay, just...
Oh, we're on May 4th?
Just do May 4th first, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Good. So, no, May 4th is fine.
Okay, so May 4th is approved by consent, then May 18th.
So if we could go to the bottom of page two, where it says amended motion, number 789 be removed, and that motion was carried. It should say, typically, in my opinion, it should say amendment, because that, it's not necessarily amended motion we were voting on, we were voting on an actual amendment, and then it was approved, and the following one was an amendment, and then it was defeated. And then at some point, the motion that was made was actually voted on. So that's not recorded. Like it's recorded as moved and seconded. Then it would say amendment, moved and seconded, carried, and amendment, moved and seconded, defeated. Right after that, it should say amended motion, and it should and the amended motion should be written as amended, and it should just say carried.
I'm lost. The first one, are you speaking about number 789 be removed from the major?
Right.
And that was an amendment, or that was a motion?
That was an amendment.
Okay.
I mean,
to what motion?
To the motion just above it. I move that this list, in order as shown in the report, be approved.
Okay. Okay. So instead of amendment, amended motion, amendment to
right.
the motion.
Well, you could write an amendment to the motion, but you just put an amendment. And there's no, and so at the end of the day, you don't have to, but it's clearer for our records. But it doesn't show that the motion as amended was carried. There's nowhere it shows that. So what I like, if we got to change it anyway, is that the motion as amended would be printed, and then it would be carried underneath motion carried.
And then
after that, it would be motion to approve the superintendent infrastructure report. That's a separate motion dealing with a separate subject.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, with that, Carol?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other? Still reading? Everyone finished reading those minutes.
Okay.
Okay, with with the rest of them. We need a motion to approve those minutes now, Mark?
As amended.
As amended.
As amended.
Well, it's still by consensus, I mean, unless someone disapproves of us.
No one has spoken to disagree, so by consent, we approve those minutes with the amendments made. Thank you. Sorry about that. I just assumed they were there because Carol gave me a printed copy. So we have names that have been submitted for the vacancy in Sub-District 1, and we will be sending those off to the Education Minister for his selection and approval. He'll let us know who the appointed person will be.
Madam Chair, do you think that would be in time for any working planning sessions in early September, late August?
The Deputy Minister assured us that he knew that time was of the essence. So
that's a separate. That's the next time.
So I would say yes, but we can make that request. And there, we will have some report on our First Nations representative, maybe something by email over the summer. So you received a copy of the letter that we got from the Association of Francophone Dex, referring to their request for our support for their proposal of remuneration for DEC members that will come into place after the next election. So they're not asking for something that would start now, and it would be based on the number of meetings attended. We don't have any idea what support there is there for that, but they're asking for the Anglophone DEX to voice their support, and the other three have. So I would entertain a motion one way or another what you think about supporting, writing a letter to support their proposal.
So the other DEX have
yes.
supported the proposal?
Yes. Well, I shouldn't say for sure. Two have written a letter. Yes. The East and South have written a letter. I don't know whether North has or not.
I would so move, Madam Chair, for support.
Moved by Mark. Do I have a seconder for that? Seconded by Wallace. Conversation? Yes, Sean.
Just working through their presentation in the letter, I don't support the idea that they include regular monthly meetings as part of that. I think we get a remuneration as a flat rate. I think that should be addressed through the monthly meetings. I'm not against if you want to have for when you're doing sustainability studies and those kind of committee work. I agree that that's a legitimate cause, but for the monthly ones and the planning sessions, I don't think they should be eligible for it. And I also don't see a defined list of what would qualify. And I know we've gone through some challenges in discussion around travel policy, around what events qualify for that. So I'd like to see a firm list so that you don't get into that same type of discussion around what constitutes. So as the letter is written, I don't support the motion.
Okay. Is there any way you would like to amend the motion and add those conditions?
Well, I guess if you took out the monthly planning and regular public meeting, and that it was a defined list of items that would support that.
So Sean is suggesting an amendment that we include in our letter. We would support support their proposal with removing the regularly scheduled, currently scheduled meetings. And what was the second one?
Identifying what meetings
yes.
specifically would be
yep.
included in that list.
Yep.
Can I just have clarification on the motion?
Sure.
So it's asking for extra per meeting, and you're saying only extra meetings would get that?
Right, so the monthly public meeting would not be considered.
Okay. And could we have a seconder for that amendment before
I'll second, because I agree.
Stephen seconded. Jane, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, just the only thing I would say is that the bulk of the work has already been done on this. The deck chairs have already approved it in principle. What they're asking for is a letter of support to take it to government. I don't think anything is final with what we're suggesting that we would do tonight. We're just sending a letter of support so that it can go to get government and get opened as a discussion, I think. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, Mark.
So as far as speaking specifically to the motion, and I certainly understand the concern, because we get a certain amount per year to assumably attend 10 meetings a year. However, it's not necessarily connected, because we get a certain amount per year serving as a deck member. Some people are able to attend all our public meetings, some are not, and some are able to attend all the working meetings, and technically you're not required to attend any working meetings. Obviously, extra meetings and stuff, I think everyone, or people would agree, maybe getting extra, and there's committee work and stuff. But I would just make the argument of the money we get is for serving. We attend a number of school functions, PSSC meetings. And so if we look at it that way, then I would say for attending meetings, remuneration. And I say us, we're voting for the next deck, or we're talking about the next deck, and certainly I guess I feel comfortable for three reasons. Number one, some people attend more meetings, and to be compensated for that is fine. And number two, it is the next deck, it's not us. And number three, while we're asking specifically for the government to do this, it's going to be more maybe of a conversation than they're going to decide anyways, because it's ultimately up to them. So I'm in favor of leaving it as is and just writing a letter and not including this amendment.
Okay, so we have an amendment. Oh, did you want to speak again?
No, I'm going to call the question on the amendment.
Okay, so on the amendment, you're all clear what that is? All in favor of amending the letter, or telling them we would support the letter with the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I need a show of hands, sorry. You were much louder then. And contrary, raise your hand, please. So the amendment is defeated. Now, are you ready to vote on the motion?
Question.
All in favor, signify by raising your right hand. That's your left, Terry. Contrary-minded, your hand, and the motion is carried. Thank you. So, we have one more thing we have to do before we can pack it in. We have to write a letter, or two. So, Connaught Street Elementary School.
So, at this time, I will introduce Sean Tracy, the Director of Finance and Administration, to talk about Connaught Street Elementary School. Just looking. Oh, here we go. Right here.
Why? Why are we talking about this?
Because you haven't heard enough.
Connaught Street Elementary School has been approved for a major capital construction.
So why are we talking about it? It's already done.
As a district education council, you have to approve the educational specifications. So,
yeah, okay, go.
All right. So, what I have for you tonight is a snapshot of a larger document, 28 pages of ed spec for Connaught Street. Basically, the major capital was approved. this spring for this project. It's to add a complete gymnasium and the support areas for the gymnasium, as well as a cafeteria and kitchen renovation project as part of this major capital. Information in there on the school background. You'd be familiar with the student population. In September it was 298. In April it was 294. For summary of work, the major components of the project are going to include 1,100 square meter addition at the rear of the western wing of the school. As part of that, it'll be a 591-year square double gymnasium, so double two teaching spaces. There'll be male, female universal change rooms, an instructor's office, staff shower, gym storage, community storage, and a stage with barrier-free access, and a new service access driveway on the eastern side of the school. And I'll pull up a diagram in a minute and show that to you so you can orientate yourself to it. The school currently has a multi-purpose room and a stage. And through the course of the EdSpec development, it was discovered that the current stage doesn't meet EdSpec, and it also doesn't meet accessibility requirements either. And if we were to try to make that current stage meet the EdSpec, there would be very little stage left. So Department of Education had some discussions about how to address that, and basically as part of the gym project, there will be a new stage in the gym. So it's quite an improvement for that facility. There'll be a renovation to the existing multi-purpose gym to create a 55 square meter kitchen and a dining area that'll seat half of the student population at a time, which is about standard for all of our new school buildings. So the schedule for this project: construction pending approvals will start in spring of 2018. They're going to start with the gym first, and once the gym is completed, then they'll move inside and construct the cafeteria and the kitchen in the building. So the overall project should be done by the fall of 2019. So in this fiscal year, government has allocated $400,000 for planning and design. So once I'm able to communicate to the department what the District Education Council's decision is regarding this matter, then it'll go to the next steps, which will be the design. The minister will have to approve it, then a architect will be hired, and then there'll be follow-up meetings with district education staff as well as school staff during the next few months to actually lay out the entire program. So I'll just pull up the... Okay, David.
Back out. No.
No.
There, and then the arrow, that's right.
Okay.
And then click on that one website.
You have to download it.
You have to download, and then
just up to the left there says download.
Yeah. Right on the downloads.
Oh, okay. I had ready on my machine.
Yes. Now you can rotate.
Okay. So front of the building. So this is where the addition is going to be. The main entrance to the new addition will be access from this parking lot along this walkway into the new gym. So that'll be the after hours entrance. There'll be a service road that will be constructed in here, and the plan is to make some additional space back here for
that's basically what I have for you tonight on this topic. Any questions?
What happens if we don't approve it?
Well, I don't know.
I would say that it would delay, if not stop the project. That's my guess. Do you know, Jason?
That would pretty much be it.
Delay or stop the project.
Well, I mean, the vote is from council, so
right.
Council would give the direction to the department.
So someone would probably come back from the department and ask you to reconsider and talk it through a little bit. And then if you still, as a council, said no way, then the project would probably be eliminated. That's my guess.
I should mention that the school is absolutely ecstatic about the new gymnasium and as well as the PSSC.
Mark.
I know you mentioned a new stage, and I know in Bath they're doing a combination stage music area. Are they doing that for here too, or do they have separate music facilities?
They have a separate music room in the school. Yeah.
So is it a permanent stage you're looking at? Or?
It is a permanent stage. It would be, I'm trying to think of one, like in Woodstock, Townsview, their stage is accessible from their main gym. Gibson Neal, it's not. It's in the cafeteria there. But it's exactly like Andover Elementary School. This design is.
What's the impact of the playground?
The playground area, as it stands right now, the design for future development stuff it's okay. They're looking at where to put a basketball hard surface court. And so they're still trying to decide where that's going to go. This is just a mock-up. It may not look exactly like it's drawn here. This is just something that I had Josh do for me. So I'd be able to show you a visual of what it may look like.
So it kind of goes into the hill somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have to do some excavation into the hill.
There's a steep hill behind Connaught Street. In fact, to the left, you can see that's a set of stairs. It's actually, the diagonal line is going down, but that's actually going upstairs as it climbs a hill.
One of the concerns is that they thought, as they build it into the hill, that the roof might become accessible from the upper field. Mm-hmm. So as part of the design, they'll put some preventative measures
in. That upper field
that
is a great little private party spot. Very private.
Except from the air.
How many students did you say this school?
294 presently.
294?
Yes.
And is there a mobile there as well?
There is one mobile.
And no consideration about getting rid of that and
making a part of it.
Yes,
making classroom addition.
It wasn't part of the
scope
or the, I guess, of our ask to them. The portable was as a result of increased enrollment in that school for this period of time, I guess.
Where is the portable on that?
This course is almighty Google.
Oh.
So it doesn't show it, but the portable is like
so if they're going to put an access road in, you'll have to move the portable.
No, there's enough room. It doesn't look like it here, but there is enough room to go around there.
That's my grade one school. The year it opened.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Did you have another comment?
Nope.
Okay. Wallace has moved that we approve this, these specifications. And are you seconding that? Oh, Andrew?
Yep.
Seconding Andrew. Seconded by Andrew. Eric.
No, I'm not ready for the question.
Jane.
I'm just I am happy for the people at Connaught Street and the kids and everything else, and I know they're ecstatic about everything else, and I just need to make it known that the way this happened is totally unacceptable. To have a government person go there and announce it, you know, being the third priority on the deck list, which puts everyone in a position that's a forced position. The department then has to get together and do all this, and then it's brought to us, and we have to approve it. And you know, it was way down on our scale. So I my objection is the way it was done.
I will say, sort of a little off the topic, that the minister was receptive to Mark's suggestion that we take the suggestion to them that the deck priorities be added to the quadruple
bottom
line formula. So perhaps in the future that won't be as big a concern. Anyone else? Ready for the vote? All in favor signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded, nay?
Aye. Nay. Whatever.
Thank you. Motion carried. Thank you, Sean. Don't go away.
So,
academic excellence.
Academic excellence.
Do we want to delay that?
Have you done for? Oh yeah.
Mark wants to know if we want to delay academic excellence.
I told her when she came in that you already struck her off the agenda because she came
in late. Remember, she came all the way to Woodstock and sat through that long, long meeting, and then we postponed her for tonight. So
this is Superintendent Monitoring Report, ASGWER2 on Academic Excellence, reported on twice a year, initially in November and May. And just talks about how our policy states that each student, in keeping with individual abilities and gifts, will complete high school with a foundation of learning to function effectively in life, work, and continued living. Make note of our district improvement plan and the positive learning and working environment plan. We're finishing the three-year cycle here in June 2017, and we are now right in the mix of building a new three-year plan for both the improvement and positive learning environment. Believe that members of the council had an opportunity to be a part of that process this afternoon with Diane, the Director of Curriculum and Instruction. Diane, in her capacity as director, provides leadership in the area of professional learning. There's a document that's been prepared here as an appendix that will outline a number of priorities that we have. Our subject coordinators and educational leads are very important staff members in the professional support system, as are the other directors, directors of schools, director of education support services, our alignment champion, our data and accountability supervisor. Talk a little bit here about PowerSchool, the new, I shouldn't continue to say new anymore, it's our student information system. We're a few years in. Year three, it continues to be a professional learning priority for us. We are making good use of report card data, and that's provided to schools. I've listed a variety of different opportunities here, events and partnerships that help students in their in the promotion of critical thinking skills and extending student learning. We organize and share data on achievement. It's this data, as well as a variety of data that helps inform the development of our improvement plans. It's worth noting that provincial assessments have been completed, I believe, for grade 2 and underway for grade 6 right now, I think, unless I got those flip-flopped, but we're in those provincial assessment seasons now. And all provincial assessment results are available publicly at the Department of Education website. School improvement plans, positive learning and working environment plans, they're revised at the school level. They're followed up by individual school conversations and communications and our directors of schools and our data and accountability supervisor and others on the director team will quite often engage in conversations with schools and talk, use their school improvement plan as a catalyst for conversation. So you can see here for appendices, we have a summary below, as well as a few other points of interest. It's worth noting here that the council, and I'll not remember the month now, maybe it was January, asked for a summary of provincial assessment data, specifically related to French immersion, to be presented in May. So we've included it in this document. So I'll just slide down. You'll see along the way all sorts of great information in Appendix A, where it talks about a variety of different learning events and initiatives that have taken place. It's worth noting that the professional learning calendar for next year was released yesterday, and a copy was given to you today. French second language, all sorts of great learning opportunities. Of course, there's a considerable investment now with the return of grade one French immersion as an entry point. Literacy, numeracy, those may continue to be high priorities in the 10-year education plan, in particular at the primary grades, K to 2. There's been investment there. But we not only focus on grades K to 2, but all of our grades. We don't forget about science. The improvement plans that I had mentioned earlier, some challenging opportunities, and a few highlights I see that we've listed here, St. Mary's experience, and we talked about that as part of the curricular presentation a few months ago. Lots to read in your spare time. This is just a little snapshot on coding and some math tips, so some sharing of instructional tips for kids. Skills competition, a number of students participated in the provincial competition, and in fact some Anglophone West students qualified to attend the national competition that was held in Winnipeg just a couple of weeks ago, and New Brunswick did very well.
How many of those kids are from Leo?
10 medals. I don't know. Do you recall, Sean, any specific from the national? I don't think there were national medals from Anglophone West.
Yeah, there were 10.
Oh.
And 5 golds.
10 no, from New Brunswick or
no,
10 from?
No medals Brunswick. From the West, though.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And then this is the data that you were looking for. Basically, we went back, and I thank Sue Young very much for her organization and her digging, and I'm sort of looking at it sideways. I mean, what do I have to do? I have to download, I suppose, do I?
Yeah.
And open. Oh, and I'll go back down. So you can see here some historical data, grade 2 reading, grade 2 writing, grade 2 reading and grade 2 writing for French immersion students, grade 4 reading, grade 4 writing, grade 4 reading and grade 4 writing for French immersion students. So you can see some data. Note that as we go back beyond 2012-13, we subdivided here into 3 school districts, 14, 17, and 18. The grade 6 assessment is new, so there's just the one line. Grade 5 numeracy is no longer in effect, but there's some accumulated data there, some notes here that we've provided to guide you along. Then we can look at grade 7 reading, grade 7 writing, and grade 8 math, as well as the grade 9 English language proficiency assessment in both reading and writing. And then here is some FI historical data, grade 10 reading, grade 10 writing, grade 10 French second language, OPI is escaping me, Diane, oral proficiency interview, yes. And then the grade 12 oral proficiency interview. So, all sorts of data to pour through. I hope that's what you were looking for when you were thinking about this and made the request half a year ago. And you can certainly take some time to digest, and if anything comes up that you want to talk about, by all means, you can be in touch with me or with Diane or with Sue, and we can help walk you through it a little bit more. So that's what I have for EL2.
Any questions? Yes, Sean.
Sorry, I might be a little out of scope. I'm just looking at the new calendar. So every year we always talk about days lost or weather, whatever, different types of events. So we just know the government brought in that February holiday. Is that day being made up anywhere for the calendar?
The family day?
Or is that a lost day?
It's not a lost day. And it'll probably require a little bit of public explanation as well. But the reality is the teacher's contract has it so that a teacher works 195 days a year. So with the introduction of the family day on the third Monday of February, that didn't change the 195 days. So in actual fact, what we did is the day that was added, because the third Monday of February is now gone, the day that was added is actually the Friday before the Labor Day weekend. And so it didn't impact instructional time.
Thank you.
Well, I noticed a lot of the professional learning days are half days now on Tuesdays.
Yes. So
is that not going to make additional cost for us? Because they used to be full-time days, right? And
yes.
And the buses didn't run on those days?
Yes. So the straightforward answer to that is yes. I guess I shouldn't say additional costs. It just means we won't be incurring the savings from not having the buses run for that particular day. I think when you think about the professional learning calendar, and as we were trying to develop it, and it was a province-wide exercise with directors and superintendents and the department, our main focus was to try and put together a calendar that that really empowered the best possible teacher learning. And this whole concept of half days, or I'm saying early dismissal because it might not be exactly a half day, is really something that teachers have been calling for, and it promotes a continuous learning model. So it's one that that we wanted to try, and you can see at the bottom the count, just to show how it all adds up, because there's a certain number of days that are provided in the new collective agreement that was signed just a couple of weeks ago. So the numbering is there, and it just shows the alignment so that people can cross-reference with the collective agreement.
A number of the half days, though, are combined with parent-teacher interviews and things, so there are still a number that are full days.
Yeah.
With
the
kids.
Yeah, that's
the different. Five in red are straightforward early dismissal, but there are some in blue where it's, for instance, half-day report card day, half-day professional learning, half-day parent-teacher half-day professional learning. So it's a mix of both.
So this early dismissal is something new?
It is new.
So
for the professional calendar, for the professional learning calendar. I should say new to the Anglophone sector. It's actually something that's happening in the Francophone sector, and they've made it so that it's every week. It's, I think, skimming a little bit of instruction.
So when will be the dismissal time? Noon? Afternoon?
Well, there'll be a floating time there so that we can get the kids bused home, but it'll be a traditional, there's a dismissal schedule for
half days,
yeah.
So I would be interested in hearing, as things progress next year from your PSSCs, from my own, what their reaction is. As a parent, you know you're going to have to arrange childcare on half days. Not
as the father of a 10-year-old, I'll give you feedback right now.
She's going to be working for you. So we'll see. Feedback and from the teachers, that you have a teacher representative on each one of your PSSCs as well. So it'll be interesting to have that feedback. Any questions on the rest of David's report?
I much credit to Diane and to Sue for their work in building this report.
Sorry, can I just ask one question for the FR results? When I'm reading that, does that mean, say you're looking at reading immersion, does that mean the percentage of kids that were able to pass the, or made a certain mark on the test, or?
It would have been students who had been appropriate or above.
Appropriate or above.
Can I jump in with one last comment, Kim?
Pardon me? Oh, sorry, yes.
Sorry, just for this academic excellence, we did have a chance to meet with Diane and her staff today, and that was a fantastic experience. I just want to commend the good work and the hard work you guys were putting in. I can show the amount of passion and interest you have in this. Well, it's nice to see that you've adjusted for feedback that you have been getting through the sessions. I just want to commend you on the job well done and your staff. I'd also like to encourage any of the other DAC members that if you do get invitations and have the opportunity to sit in to join these other fantastic sessions.
Yes, I would echo those comments. Both of the sessions that we've been to, and then Stephanie joined us again today, were well worth the time, and losing out on the nicest afternoon of the year so far.
It wasn't nice actually. Just
everybody all right with that one? We'll move on to EL4.
Right, so this report is ASDW EL4, Budgeting and Forecasting, the fourth of four reports this year. Thanks to Sean Tracy and Terry McKellar for their participation in the building of this report. Of course, as you know, the policy calls for us to be careful in our spending as a school district and have a generally acceptable level of foresight in the work that we do with respect to the budget. Ensure we keep financially healthy and keeping our district intact. It's worth noting that with the end of the fiscal year coming to a close, 2016-17, on March 31st, after all was said and done, our surplus was $98,838, which is 0.04% off the $227,883 that was available to us through global dollars. And as many of you are aware, school districts are allowed to maintain a surplus of up to $100,000. So we did a great job here, and that just means $98,000 moves into this fiscal year for us to use in a strategic way. We did have a contingency plan with respect to the self-sustaining dollars, and if global dollars could cover the costs at year end, then we can do an accounting correction to offset and make sure we use the appropriate budget to cover the expense. So the final results are available in Appendix A. When we look at the District Education Council operational budget in 2016-17, and that's come to a close as well, it's in Appendix B, we had set aside $51,000 for the DEC this year, and you only spent $26,000. So you were very responsible in your expenditures. Most of these expenses were for travel and meeting. It's worth noting that there were less meetings this past fiscal year, mostly because there were no sustainability studies. Actually, there was one sustainability study, and this only covers from January to March, and it was here in Fredericton, which minimized travel for many of you. So that is available. Sean and I...
Just divide that up.
Just divide that up, yes, as your surplus. So Sean and I talked about it a little bit, and we recommend $40,000, but you as a council can decide what you'd like for the current year. It's noted that we don't have any sustainability studies on the horizon as well. So something to think about, and we can confirm that once you've had a chance to talk about it. In keeping with the act and policies, we make sure to separate capital improvement projects and major capital construction projects. And, in fact, you approved lists at our last public meeting. We have received a working document, a 2017-18 global district budget that's been provided to us. We received this a few weeks ago. And Sean has had a time to develop an expenditure plan, a proposed expenditure plan to present to you tonight. It's a part of the Education Act that council, prior to July 1st of every year, approves an expenditure plan for the district. So we'll ask for you to consider that tonight. I make note of our self-sustaining dollars as well. And I think at this time, it may be best for me to just turn it over to Sean to go through the expenditure plan. Sean, do you want to do it from here, or do you want me to scroll down, or do you want to open a PowerPoint?
I'd like to do it with PowerPoint.
Yeah. Okay. Carol, is it uploaded as a PowerPoint?
Yes, sir.
The expenditure plan?
Yes.
PowerPoint? Yes, it is, right there. Want to take it from here?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so our 17-18 budget this year is $219,475,198. As part of that $219 million, we've already received the educational services budget in the amount of $1,008,398. This is a great advance over previous years as far as the role of that particular budget line. Getting it this time of year is a wonderful thing. It normally comes in October and November, so it's a really good improvement. So we have some areas that we're going to have to monitor closely this year. Similarities to any other year, you know, with respect to replacement costs for supply teachers, and also replacement costs for other employee groups are always a concern, as well as heating, fuel, natural gas, electricity. We're funded based on averages, historical information. So if we have a really cold winter or warm winter, we'll go with that one, could create some either a deficit or a surplus in those areas. One of the issues this year is the transportation fuel funding. They went with an average price per liter for diesel fuel at 86 cents per liter, and our costs are actually running 10 to 20 cents per liter higher than that right now. So we do have a deficit in that area. We're able to offset it, you know, and hoping that at the end of the day that it will balance out. The department has been notified of that particular concern, and they're going to monitor it because it was expressed by every district. As well as the minor repairs area, you know, we annually we spend about $1.4 million on minor repairs in our schools, keeping them safe. So our spending strategy for the budget, anyone that's commissioned to have a budget are asked to monitor their budgets. We try to get them to look for efficiency. So an example of that would be in transportation. If we're able to, you know, make some changes within a run to save some kilometers, or if we have a driver that's retiring and we're able to rearrange runs to eliminate a bus run, those are some ideas that happened in the past. And as I said earlier, we'll talk to EECD if we have any global stressors as we go through this year. So this diagram just shows our overall budget is 88% salaries and benefits, and 12% is operations. Comes up weird in that. The expenditure plan, you can see the different areas that that we're funded for. So information technology, student support, district operations, employee benefits, and I don't know why that's a surplus there, but it's employee benefits. Transportation, budget, facilities budget, education support, and instruction, which is the largest area of our budget, at $139 million. So this diagram just basically shows the breakout of all those different budgets as a percentage of the total budget. So 63.44% is on instruction. And you can see the other pieces of the pie. So school budgets, we've maintained the same school budget allocation for the past 5 years. We get the same package of money. We give it out to schools in these areas: Healthy Minds budget, PSSC funding, co and extracurricular trips, phone budget, office supplies, equipment, school travel, printing and copying, textbooks, instructional materials. So within that $2.8 million, if a school has less enrollment this year than they had last year, they would experience a decrease in budget, but no more than 2.5%. And if a school had an increase, they would receive an equitable amount of what's available. So it could be anywhere between 1% and 3% that could be available for them. Also, as part of our annual exercise with respect to revenue sharing from Department 19, we have monies that we share from cafeteria, international students, and rental funds. And these are shared on the basis of last year's total revenue minus expenses gives us our net. And from that, we split it based on one-third being retained at the district and two-thirds of it being allocated to schools on the basis of whether they contribute to or if they're non-contributing. So if they have a cafeteria, they would get more of the cafeteria money than if someone didn't have a cafeteria, as an example. So to show you the amount that I have set up to share this year, the total amount is $413,382. Of which you can see a little sliver for cafeteria. Our cafeteria funding basically is revenue expense, and there's not much left over at the end of the day. policy under policy 127 that talks about is the food management policy, and it says that all expenses associated with cafeteria have to be charged against the revenues. So that's all the repairs and replacement of equipment, and cafeteria equipment is very expensive. So we have $72,708 in rental, and the largest is the international student area of $339,245 that will be shared with every school in our district based on their student population. So that's the expenditure plan. Should we go look at the, I want to show them the big sheet. Do I just go backwards? So this is the this is what I actually send in to the Department of Education is this report, which what I've showed you tonight in my presentation, I focused on the green area, which is our original funding and the district expenditure plan. There are a number of transfers in and out that we have had since April, and those things will be reflected in a presentation in the second quarter. That's when we show the expenditures and the additional budget dollars that we receive. So overall, our expenditure plan is balanced to zero. There are a number of offsets in the expenditure plan, but it reflects what I presented in the PowerPoint. Are there any questions around the expenditure plan?
You need a motion, right?
Yes.
So I'll move the motion. We'll accept the expenditure plan.
Do you want to do questions first?
No.
Okay, we have motion. A motion that we approve the expenditure plan. Do I have a seconder?
I don't have a question.
Well, could we do the questions after the motion? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, I just.
Seconded by Terry. Moved by Jane. Okay, Mark.
So, what are we doing? We've got the fourth quarter. Do we need approval on that? And then we have
what
the
Jane,
plan going forward. So,
Jane
I'm
moved,
not sure what.
Jane moved approval
on.
Of the expenditure plan.
We don't need the fourth quarter.
So we don't need the fourth quarter. So this is the expenditure plan going forward. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what's on the table at this moment. Do we have questions based on that? Yes.
I just had a quick question going back on the previous slideshow that you had, the PowerPoint thing. Supply teachers.
Yeah.
That was one of the major expenses, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it was 11 sick days. We had a program, or I shouldn't say we, but there was a program brought in to kind of monitor that and try to make it better, I guess.
Yeah.
Where are we with that? Is it better now or is it worse?
There were, initially, the first year, there were savings across the board, across all employee groups. It really depends on, like, the year and this level of sickness in, you know, the province with flus or whatever. Like, last year, we did have increased absences in a lot of areas. So, yes, there are some savings associated with that program.
Mark.
A couple of quick things. First of all, in great job, of course. I just, again, wanted to express how ridiculous it is that we have the $100,000 target based on a $219 million budget. That target was around in former District 17 when the budget was $43 million. And I think the simplest would be that the department set a percentage for every district of what the target is so that we can carry it forward. I don't think people fully appreciate that this is like threading a needle from 100 yards away to try to get, you know, that close. And I think it just creates the potential for way too much work or this kind of March Madness spending, which we agree is not a good way to operate, and I have no question about how we've been operating. I think it's going well, but I just think that 100,000 is just unfair, so I just wanted to voice that. I do want to say as well to thank the government that it did come in May 17th, but recognize that it did still come in late, so I would urge the government, the department specifically, to get it on time. It's certainly much better than past years. Acknowledge that. Question on the minor repairs, which you have at $1.1 million, is that something that comes from the government, or are we earmarking that? I know there's some global budgeting things.
We actually receive a single amount under facilities,
okay,
and it's up to us to break it out for the different areas. So there's a number of areas in that that bucket. Minor repairs would be just one of those.
So is there any cost savings because we have less schools than when we started, and some of those schools are newer, or is it not necessarily anything just because the old schools we have are getting older? Where are we with that? Are we seeing any type of savings?
The way that we're funded in facilities for the minor repairs, like that operating expense, is based on the square footage. So as we reduce square footage, we receive less funding. So,
okay. The other thing you had mentioned, that when a bus driver retires, there's an opportunity, in terms of strategies, there's an opportunity to redo bus runs or eliminate a bus run. Why do we have to wait till they retire? Is that a protected thing?
No, that's just one example.
Okay.
We certainly have done reviews and studies in the past on areas. In previous years, they used to give us budget targets to reduce so much in transportation. So we would actively go out and try to save 5 buses or whatever the target was given to us as part of that world. It's not like that now. With the new bus planning software that we'll have starting this fiscal, there'll be opportunities in that for looking at our system in a more modern way to see if we can achieve any more efficiencies in the system.
And they do still get the dry cleaning allowance for the uniforms, correct?
They do. We got the budget for it.
It's been a long day, but do we receive $8 million less than what we spent last year from the department? Will there be more coming in?
Last year's budget was you saw, it was $227 million. Last year we had 4 collective agreements that were renewed, and subsequent budget transfers came in. So that's why last year was an anomaly with an extra large chunk of budget being added. So proportionally, compare this to our beginning budget last year, it would be similar.
219 compared to 211 last
yeah.
year. I think it was 211 that we started with. 210, 211.
Yeah.
So we won't complain. We got more. Anyone else? Sean.
Sure, we had already gone through this before, so we talked about more detailed breakdown of these expenditures, not necessarily presented as part of this, but available on the portal. I believe you actually did that for Q3.
Yeah.
Is there a detailed breakdown for the end of Q4 and for your 2018 projections? projection?
The answer, short answer to that is yes. We typically provide that detail at the third quarter just because it's more, we have more realistic, I guess, forecasts. Like with the expenditure plan, the forecasting that was done for this is based on historical. As Terry and her team spend more time on this, they'll get more refined, I guess. So the second quarter, you'll see a little bit more detail. But certainly, if you ever have any questions on any of those areas, I would be happy to answer them.
We'll just look at the Q4. I'm just wanting to break out those totals and how they're made up.
I believe when she gave me that, because we don't actually, the Q4, like to do a summary document, all she does is go in and run a report in Oracle and give me the totals. She doesn't actually go in and update every little single line. So what you're seeing is basically what you get for that summary of the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter that I presented back in March as part of the regular forecasting thing, that would have the expanded up to date. She just goes through for this because we always like to show how we finished. So it's just the summary that we do.
Anyone else? Look like you might have another question, Sean.
Oh. Question.
Call for the question. We have a motion on the floor to approve the expenditure plan. Right words?
Correct.
Could I have all in favor signify with aye?
Aye.
Contrary minded, nay? Thank you. Thank you, Sean. And we have a committee that's been working on the next item. Do you want to say anything at this time, or we wait until?
I should have requested that be moved later on. We'll have a report. We have to meet in camera. We'll have a report after that.
So we're referring to evaluation of superintendent, which will be finalized in the in-camera session and a report following. So back to the superintendent again for, and I have asked that this report be an outline and the full text of it, something that we can look at. It's been it's been a lot of work producing it, and it's not something that we want to spend a short amount of time on. So he's going to do an overview, and we'll have a chance to look at it and ask questions later, or we can ask questions now.
So on an annual basis, we have a responsibility to report to the District Education Council, the Minister, and six Chiefs in Council along that line with the Anfong West School District, a report on the enhanced services, tuition and services agreement that we have. So for those of you who aren't familiar with it, First Nation students who live within First Nation communities that attend public schools have tuition paid to the province of New Brunswick for the province to provide the education. So education for First Nation students is actually a federal responsibility. So when with our six communities, three communities have their own band operated school, a K-5 school that's in Tobik First Nation, Kingston First Nation, St. Mary's First Nation. But we have approximately 550 First Nation kids, K-12, who live within the six First Nation communities that attend the public schools in our district. And the federal government provides tuition dollars to each of the communities, who in turn pays tuition for those 500 kids to attend school in the provincial schools. This enhancement agreement is an agreement that's signed by the superintendent, by the minister, and by the chiefs to where there's an agreement that half of those tuition dollars are turned back to an enhancement committee for each of the six communities to spend to enhance the educational opportunities for those students. So it's a very formal agreement. We're at the end of year two in a five-year agreement. And there's a specific report that needs to be provided each year. This year, we've shown greater compliance with our final report by mirroring Appendix E from that agreement. And you'll see that this is actually a 33-page report that we have worked very, very hard at. I say we, in particular Sue Young, who's here with us tonight, in her position as Data and Accountability Supervisor, and in fact, probably tidied it up for the last little bit at about 3:30 this afternoon. So I apologize that it wasn't up in advance, but we continued to work on it as it was a very new process. But if you remember, in previous years, the reports that I submitted wouldn't have been as comprehensive. So I'll just scroll through, and you can see some very interesting information. So here we have the numbers of students, and you can see it's divided by grade level and by community. We have six communities, as I mentioned: Madawaska First Nation, which is in Edmundston; Tobik First Nation, just outside of Perth Andover; Woodstock First Nation; St. Mary's First Nation; and Kingsclere First Nation here in Fredericton; and Oromocto First Nation. So a nominal roll count is done in September and in February. And our reporting, this is a school count as of June when schools submitted their data. You can see here some data on grade 12 students that are currently enrolled and the number that we expect to graduate this year. The number of students on a personalized learning plan. Number of students who have individualized behavior support plan. Numbers of suspensions and referrals to alternate education, numbers of unexcused absences, numbers of students who are served directly and indirectly by enhancement support personnel. So a lot of our financial investment goes into staffing, and you can see that the staff would support a number of First Nation students within the schools. This is a percentage of schools that use these strategies to address attendance issues or following suspension in a re-entry strategy. So it's the percentage of schools that are using these strategies. The number of students enrolled in a variety of different high school courses. Some provincial assessment results. Grade 2 reading and grade 9 English language arts. Even some early years evaluation, so prior to coming to school, the IDA it's called. And then we have a variety of information here specific to cultural activities. So it's just a listing of cultural activities that are occurring within the schools. At least put it the right side here. There you go. So cultural activities, and it's divided by school and by community. You can see there are a tremendous number of activities that are going on within our schools. A lot of them that are financed through enhancement investments. You can see that our next category would be, as we get to it, transition, how we transition school students from one school to the next. Specifically, how we transition students from band-operated schools into the public school system. So a lot of feedback here. School strategies. So So a variety of different strategies that are being used within our schools to support First Nations students in their education. Professional learning with respect to First Nation education. We know that we have, there are three main goals within the enhancement agreement, but we also have recommendations from a Truth and Reconciliation report that's nationwide, and we need to keep those in mind, and I know that we're noting them within our district improvement planning as well. So quality professional learning is in place as well. Again, sometimes funded by enhancement. A note of presenters, some of the presenters who have been a part of this professional learning. Specific proposals that have been approved by enhancement committees. Each community the money is governed by an enhancement committee that makes decisions based on proposals that come in. So all sorts of different proposals and ideas that get funding. And then, as I mentioned before, staff. We're able to fund certain staff positions to support our First Nation students. And then there is the financial piece. So each community has its own financial tracking page that Sean personally looks after and keeps us accountable with respect to money. So if you think about the fact that tuition is approximately $11,000, which means approximately $5,500 is turned back to the district, and you think about that for 540 kids, you can see that we have a significant amount of money to invest in the enhancement opportunities, educational enhancement opportunities for our students. So, as I mentioned, I have a responsibility to present this to you as the District Education Council. I will share it as well with the Minister of Education. He has some responsibilities to present in the legislature. I know that he'll use this data. And then in turn, Sue has a little bit more work to do with this because she's going to pull a lot of the information to subdivide it into six smaller reports so that we can share with each chief and council. This will be posted publicly for all to see. I'm going to say early next week because I want the community leadership to have a chance to see it. I sent it to them at supper time today, and I'll send it along to the minister probably tomorrow or on the weekend. So that's the report. It's there on the portal for you to look at in greater detail as you wish.
Sean? Sorry, Sean, tied to your funding, I just had some questions around the stats in this.
Sure.
I'm sure I'm probably not the only one, but I find it shocking to me when you look at the grade 12 students expected to graduate and the percent of those.
Yes.
Do you have any comparable figures to what the overall graduation rates are compared to the First Nation graduation rates?
No, if that's in the annuals. Provincial data statistics, do you remember that if that's a category? What's it called? The not off the top of my head, John. There are a couple of data reports that come to mind. The statistical, I forget what it's called, statistical summary annually, the department annually the department presents statistics. I don't know if they have a category about First Nations. And then there's grade 12 exit survey. So this could be, so this, I know what you're saying, and it goes to show that we need to focus on our high school kids. Yeah, we need to work with them and see them through their high school years, right through to the end.
I don't know where that jumped out to me. Sorry if I mispronounced it.
Tobik, yes.
Tobik have 100%. So what's different there? Is that support at
sure.
the band level or the family level or at their school that they feed into?
Yeah, I don't want to make a positive correlation, but I can tell you there's tremendous support at Southern Victoria High School with respect to staffing, there's persistence when it comes to ensuring kids get to school, and there's a great level of support. Yes.
So I noticed when we met this afternoon, actually one of the topics we talked about around school culture and stuff involved the feeling of safety within the environment in the campuses and buses. And I was just looking at the suspension numbers. Are those high, or would that be in line with like the overall?
I don't have a comparison with overall. I wonder if Tanya, do you want to comment on?
And are there numbers there?
It's just a blur to you, is it?
It's a blur.
Yeah, this is the number of bus suspensions, 9, which isn't very many. The number of in-school suspensions is 113, and the number of out-of-school suspensions is 130. And it's worth noting that this isn't necessarily 130 students.
Right.
This is an actual number of suspensions.
I was just curious because I wonder if that time would tie into your dip or your PSW. I'm going to say that. But just how it ties into those in the 10-year plan, like
sure.
Is your focus to kind of target some attention to those areas?
Yeah, I would say that that to extrapolate these numbers to a regular high school population, my instinct is that it's comparable. Yeah.
Thanks.
Would you say, Tanya, comparable probably? I don't know if one is a little bit above the other, or I don't think there's a significant difference, is what I'm trying to say.
Mark?
So I had questions similar to Sean, which I wasn't sure I would ask, because I'm cringing a little bit at the data. And not at the numbers. My concern would be, and this is a genuine concern, and I have to say thanks for all the work, and there's some positive things I would like to see us do in the future, and I'll mention them in a second, but I guess I have a couple of general concerns, and that is, if we're looking at data for specific communities, I'm concerned if we're not looking at other communities. So take a high school in Perth Andover or a high school here or whatever. I'm just concerned about, I don't want to hide negative numbers, but I just cringing a little bit, and if this is going public, I don't know. I guess it's the first time I'm seeing something like this, and I'm just wondering sometimes what good. There's a great depth of issues and problems, including underfunding in First Nations communities, and there's just a lot of things. And anyway, I have concerns about the data in general and presenting it and those things. I'm just voicing that and thinking.
It's worth noting that there's a responsibility to report it under the agreement. It's worth noting that educational leadership in the First Nation communities are interested in the data, and It's also worth noting that this is our first year at going this in-depth.
Yeah.
And we consider this to, I guess we could call this baseline data, and now our goal is to see improvements. And if we're not seeing improvements, then we need to look at how we're investing the dollars and make some changes so that we can see improvements. So.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it helps in seeing it for the first time. I guess the only other thing is that, again, just to say, you know, I appreciate the report. And I would like to see in the future, you know, certainly if it pleases the deck and the chair specifically, you know, maybe one of our meetings where we bring in a couple of outside people and talk about First Nations education. Certainly there are a lot of people working in that field. And I see it as, you know, kind of a celebration and a very informative thing about around First Nation education. It'd certainly be something that I would look forward to in one of our future meetings.
I would agree.
I'm way ahead of you. I've been attending the discussion she's not looking at me. What's the word I'm looking for in the 10-year plan?
Objectives.
So objective six, mm-hmm. around objective six in the 10-year plan and working with provincially. So I've been attending those sessions and I've some ideas. So yeah. No, I'm not way ahead of you, but I'm a little bit ahead of you.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Sean.
Well, sorry, just looking through your appendices, like some of your schools have a huge offering of cultural activities and others less broad list. Do you see any correlation between graduation stats, your attendance, your suspensions, between the schools that offer more cultural activities than less? So
we haven't gone in that deep to look at correlation or compared. I can tell you that one of the goals within the enhancement agreement is to promote a cultural welcoming environment, so that that's definitely there, and it's purposeful. It's worth noting too that some schools that you see may only have one or two students as well, so the numbers aren't spread evenly throughout. So that's important to note. Having said that, really all 69 of our schools need to be acknowledging the historical significance of our First Nation people, and we're seeing some changes to curriculum at all grade levels. So when you look at the practice, you know, the leadership of your chair at the beginning of each meeting, I think like those are steps that I think are very, very important after, you know, especially when you take into account the Truth and Reconciliation recommendations.
Thank you.
Just looking at, I think it's one of your first slides, David, on the presentation there on the schools, what grade the kids are in and that type of thing. But is there, a big decline in enrollment? If you look at your K-4, K-5, maybe, do they have their own schools on some of those?
That's right. So those numbers would be lower because there are three K-5 schools where they're band operated schools,
okay.
And those students aren't counted. So you start to see the jump in grade six when that transition is occurring from band operated school to middle school.
Yeah,
provincial.
I was wondering
schools.
If that's what.
That's it. Yes. Because if I understand correctly, the data across the country is that enrollment should be on the rise with First Nation children.
So, for the band operated schools, does the money for tuition for each child come from the federal government?
That's
or
correct.
Does it come from them?
So the federal government
mm-hmm.
pays the tuition to the community, and they just use all of that
mm-hmm.
tuition to run
okay.
their school.
Just, Faith had brought up, I just want to acknowledge the federal government severely underfunds First Nations
teachers on band schools are paid 20% less than teachers in religious schools.
Why is that?
That's true.
How they're funded.
That's hard.
Any other?
I may take the probably my last moment to speak. I need to recognize my director colleagues here tonight who have been a big part of these reports throughout the year. So when I think in particular tonight of academic excellence and the good work of Diane and Sue and financial, I think of Sean, Tracy, and when I look at this First Nation report, Sue Young did a lot of great work. When I look at the evaluation of the superintendent, I'm so glad the director of human resources is here tonight in case I need any support. And the director of communications who's been with us at each and every meeting. And I'll make special note of our director of schools here tonight, Tanya Whitney. And I know she has two colleagues down the hall. We're deep into staffing. And the director of schools have been working very hard. I love staffing. It's something that I wish I could do, but every time I go and take a look, they shoo me away because they've got a system and they're doing really, really well. But
it's a lot quicker when David's not in the room.
It's a lot quicker when I'm in the room. But I still check in every now and then. But I'll note that Tanya has decided to move into another area of educational leadership, and she's leaving her director's role at the end of August and is going to take on a leadership lead position where she has a tremendous skill set in the area of school reviews and really coaching and supporting school administrators. And Tanya's been a fantastic director. She's excellent at de-escalating really tough situations. If you speak with her, you can see the competency and the professionalism, and I know we'll miss Tanya at the director's table, but we're still glad that she's a part of our important team. Thank you, Tanya, for everything and for being here tonight. That's everyone.
Yes. Do we have any public comments? Oh, I was going to skip committee reports.
Okay.
Do you have a policy? No policy update. And we've already heard from the committee on excellence in teaching awards. So, and I don't believe there are any other committees meeting. Okay. So, public comments?
No public.
But it is nice to see a replacement in the press gallery.
Do you want to introduce yourself, Hadil?
Hi, I'm Hadil Ibrahim. I used to be an intern last year, and I'm full-time this year. And I'm going to have to fill Emma's shoes, and it's scary because she was cool. I promise I'm just as cool.
Already, you're cooler.
I'm going to tell her you said that.
Yeah, right. My name is Kim.
Yes.
Thanks. So, could I have a motion to move in camera? Mark? So moved by Mark, seconded Sean. And all in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary, minded nay. Thank you. So, we'll ask everyone to leave the room except for.